MoneyWeb at midday for all your up-to-date stories.
The suicide of former Steinhoff boss Markus Juster will not have any impact on the ongoing investigation relating to fraud and misrepresentation at the JSE-listed retailer. That's according to the Financial Sector Conduct Authority. I want to explore this in a little more detail now as I'm joined by the former editor of the Financial Mail and author of the seminal book Steinheist, Rob Rose. Rob, a very warm welcome to you. Before we get to the aftermath, when you heard the news, were you shocked?
Afternoon, Jeremy. Good to speak to you again. Yeah, absolutely. I was completely shocked when I was told about it. I thought it might have been one of those conspiracy theories, but it soon became clear that that's what happened. So it was very bracing.
Does anyone, Rob, have any indication of the mood that he was in? He was all set to hand himself over, and then it took this very strange and tragic turn of events.
Yeah, I don't think he was all set to hand himself over. I think he was probably weighing up his options. He'd already had that fine earlier in the week from the regulator for $475 million, so he probably wasn't in the best of moods. But I think it was the news that the criminal investigation was actually closing in on him, and he'd been telling people for years that he never thought they'd actually get around to it. So I suppose the revelation that they were actually intending to arrest him was obviously what tipped him over the edge. I don't know if he would have happily handed himself over. I just don't think he expected it to get to the stage, and I suppose to some extent, now we'll never know. He's never going to appear in front of a judge and plead his case.
It was in many ways an indication of his hubris, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he was somebody for whom, you know, he looked down on other people. He was quite scornful of other people's views, and I think that standing in front of a judge and having to explain what actually happened to Steinhoff and concede his error, I think would have clashed up heavily against his hubris and his personality, which had, you know, he'd never actually conceded reality in many, many parts of this case, which is why the fraud got to the stage it did.
Rob, I know that we're going to step now into the realm of conjecture, but what would have happened or what could have happened had he turned himself in last week as might have been the case?
So he and Stian Grobler, who was Steinhoff's company secretary for many years, were ordered to appear in court on Friday, and Stian Grobler did appear in court. And I think this morning he did get bail, partially from what I understand, because the state's case isn't 100% complete. So I think that Markus Juster, the state would have argued against bail, but he probably would have got bail on the argument that, you know, he's had 6 years and he hasn't run anywhere. So he probably would have got bail, and then it would have led to a long standoff, probably many years, while the case dragged on to trial. Jeremy, if you remember the case of Tigon, which is one of the largest 40 companies on the JSE, its CEO was arrested in 2002, and that trial still isn't complete. So, you know, it could have dragged on for many, many more years, but he would have faced charges of fraud and charges of breaching the Financial Markets Act, and it would have been quite a lengthy trial.
What does this say, Rob, about our ability or inability to effectively investigate financial crimes, such as the two that you've just mentioned?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's been an issue for a number of years. Since the Scorpions disbanded, particularly, it's been a big issue because Regal Bank, for example, in 2002, I think the Scorpions arrested Jeff Levenstein, who was the CEO of Regal Bank, and he was sent to prison. But since then, we haven't had many big corporate crimes. In the case of Sambo, for example, its CEO and other directors, I think one of them actually died before it got to trial. So I think it's a big weakness, and it's one of those issues that I think the Financial Action Task Force mentioned last year, inability to tackle financial crimes, which is one of the reasons we were grey-listed. So the state, I think, realizes the importance of it, but doesn't have the skills to effectively do this. And I think, I mean, the jury is very much out on that.
I've referenced the Financial Sector Conduct Authority already. What happens now, in your opinion, in terms of this investigation? What direction does it take? What needs to change, if anything at all?
Well, I mean, that's really, I spoke to some of the investigators and they were saying that they now have to regroup and see what they do with this particular case because they're going to have to focus on other people involved in Steinhoff. Certainly there was a big, I suppose, public demand that people be held accountable for this. And Stian Grobler and potentially other people being held in the dock will certainly provide some degree of accountability, but it won't provide the sort of national cleanse that having Markus Juster in the dock would have. So I think you'll still want the criminal cases to go on, and I think you'll still want them to hold people accountable. And in terms of the Financial Sector Conduct Authority, that particular fine, the $475 million, will be lodged against his estate. And I mean, I doubt they'll get that money back, partially because I'm quite skeptical over whether Marcus Joost actually has that money sitting in an account in South Africa. So I'm not sure if they'll ever get that money back. But to some extent, I think the size of that fine was symbolic. I don't think they ever really expected to get that fine out of Marcus.
All of this is, of course, contained in your excellent book, Rob, Steinheist. But maybe give our audience a sense of the scale of the fraud that was perpetrated.
Sure, it was immense. It was. You know, the PwC investigators talked when they released their findings, which was, you know, a few months after the book came out. So I was quite nervous about the book to some extent, hoping that, you know, I hadn't got it wrong. But the PwC investigation found in the end that there was 106 billion rand of fictitious transactions over more than a decade. So actually the scale was larger than I think we anticipated. And essentially this runs the gamut from creating fictional companies in Europe and using it to send fake invoices to Steinhoff to boost the profits. You know, it extends far, far more than that. I mean, he did deals in which he himself personally benefited out of Steinhoff shareholders to the tune of millions. It was a large con that was by far the largest, exceeded Regal Bank, LeisureNet, all the big ones we've had in South Africa by some distance. And, you know, I think it cast the spotlight firmly on what our regulators do, what our boards of directors do. And, you know, you had a board of directors at Steinhoff, which really was a superstar board with three accounting PhDs, and you had an accounting scandal, which does raise all kinds of questions of governance at this company.
I'm going to leave it there. And if you haven't read the book, Steinheist, the author is Rob Rose. And Rob, thank you very much for joining me.